Welcome to the Van Jose podcast, now presented by Fear the Finn. You are listening to me, Nora Scally, ramble about hockey.
And lock in the crease, just patiently waiting for my turn.
That's fair. All right,
I would say most of the time I'm probably the guy who goes on the long tangents.
Yeah, true. We have gone on some wild ones. I think we went off about like stadiums and the Olympics for a really long time in one of the earlier ones.
Yeah, that's kind of the best part though, is like, you know, where you sometimes just verging completely off topic on a completely different story is like the funnest way to do things. Like just before we started, we were talking about the 2000 draft and how terrible it was.
Rick DiPietro, an absolute stud to come out of that. First overall.
First overall, and yet he was still somehow one of the better, like, even though he was, it turned out to be a total disaster, he ended up still being one of the more solid choices of that draft.
Of the four other decent choices in that draft.
Yeah, just like, let's look at the top six just quickly. Okay, so DiPietro goes first overall, and Mike Milbury, of course, trades Roberto Luongo to make room, which just Peak
of
Islanders.
Of course, you got to make room for Rick DiPietro. That's just the obvious choice.
No. Absolutely. And then let's see. At number two, the Atlanta Thrashers select Danny Heatley. That was a good pick. That was one of those. That's who the Islanders missed out on. The Islanders missed out on two guys majorly, and that was Heatley. And then at number three, the Wild getting Marian Gaborik. Oh, Islanders. And the Blue Jackets picked Rostislav Klesla. I think I pronounced that incorrectly.
Most likely.
The Islanders selected again at number five and got Rafi Torres, which wasn't like...
Okay.
It's not... You still could have... But they still missed out on Scott Hartnell at six.
Rafi Torres, more recently famous for being the Sharks player that got suspended half of a season.
I mean, I know him as Rafi Torres, game-winning goal in game one of the Cup Finals for the Canucks.
People forget. I forget.
Yeah, 20, I don't forget. 20 seconds left. So 20 seconds left. Kessler just manages like a toe pick, stays on side. I do forget who he passed the puck to. Who got it to Torres? Either way, Torres just streaks down the middle, tips in a perfect pass, and right through the legs of Tim Thomas, wins the game with like 20 seconds to go. Oh, that was insane.
Is Tim Thomas still playing the league? The last thing I heard, he was with Florida.
He went nuts.
Did he?
Well, okay. He it's not that he went nuts, it's that he's just like he's an interesting fella.
Okay. I remember the whole thing with the White House, and he didn't want to go to the White House when the Bruins won. Then he was in Florida, and then I didn't hear anything after the Florida thing.
He played in Dallas briefly.
Did
that
he?
That was a thing. Oh, yeah, he played in Dallas briefly because Luongo got traded to Florida, and yep. Jim Thomas was not happy about it, so they traded him on the same day.
Yikes.
And I thought that was pretty great because, yeah. And I don't know if you've ever seen it, Tim Thomas. He had like the Tea Party symbol on the back of his mask, on a couple of his masks.
Interesting, so very bold choice.
He was a bit of a, like, you know, had very poignant views on certain things. So, you know,
a little outspoken there, Timmy.
There's a reason why sometimes. Things don't work out for you long term, you know, after a while. Yikes. You kind of overstay your welcome, you know?
You hate to see it.
Yeah. But we should probably get back on topic now.
Yeah, we should wait for the off-topic tangents till the end, I guess. Save those for last.
For sure, always.
Start with San Jose this week. Five wins in their last six games. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, finally, it took them long enough, right?
Yeah, finally took them long enough to start playing like the San Jose Sharks that have Erik Karlsson on their team. They're already stacked roster. Yeah, but Timo Meier, hot, super hot, two back-to-back two-goal games. awesome. Just love to watch it. Just super grateful for it always. Pavs Joe Pavelski, I believe, is 7th in the league in scoring right now. He has 20 or 21 goals.
Having a great, like, yeah,
he is having a great year, and you know, you kind of forget, like, he's not that the youngest guy on the roster, you know.
How does that? Would you say that kind of like, okay, he's, because he's on the last year of his contract. He's a free agent in July. I don't think at the beginning of the year anyone would have expected him to start scoring at that kind of ridiculous pace.
Oh, definitely not. I didn't at all, and I root for him always, but yeah. He's been a lot more consistent, he's just playing great hockey. He's playing like Joe Pavelski of, like, years past, and I love to see it.
Now, my big worry for that, though, is does that bode poorly for the Sharks getting even a shot at re-signing him in the offseason? Because I feel, the way I see it, the way he's going, it's not so much that he's going to get a massive pay raise or anything. It's just going to be the Sharks are already strapped for cap space.
Yeah, and it's a matter if they're trying to get Carlson back, if they want to get Carlson back, if they want Pavs back. And they already have, you know, Couture, Kane, and Jones strapped in these long-term contracts. And Vlasic.
Vlasic, I was going to say.
Yeah, Vlasic's up there. He signed an 8-year deal like a year ago, maybe.
I think it was the same time as Jones. I think they both signed at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, similar deals, too.
They got Kane in this offseason for the long term. It's going to be interesting, the offseason. I would like to see Pavelski, but it's like, if they're trying to get Carlson, one or both are going to have to get underpaid, and they're both players that could be paid significantly more than the Sharks might be able to offer them.
If you were to put the over-under on what happens with Pavelski at the end of the season, what would you say it is right now?
I could see him leaving is like kind of my
Would you say like what, guess. Like 70%, 80%? Like what
I would
you
say
that?
I put it, I'm going to say 65. I'm going to give it like a bit more optimistic that he stays, but I feel like there is a 65% chance of him leaving.
Okay, so you still have a pretty good.
Still the 35% chance that he stays, but I think it's, in my opinion, could be completely wrong. They could prioritize him over Carlson, maybe. Unlikely.
That would be
choice, but it's unlikely. But there's also the chance that Carlson, you know, doesn't want to stay.
Once he sees what the Canucks have in store, I'm sure he's gonna look at his options there. Yeah,
I'm sure. Erik Karlsson to the Canucks.
Yeah, that would. I mean, yeah, that's it's happening. Just, you know, start preparing yourself mentally now. It's gonna happen. But I mean, that would be a mistake to prioritize
Carlsson. Pavelski is a rare breed, and
he's younger, significantly younger.
Yes.
Before the Sharks made their cup run in 2015, back when, in an era where I was making YouTube videos.
A great era for everyone.
What?
A great era when everybody has a YouTube video phase, and it's just great.
I want to do it again. I just can't find the time or the mental capacity to edit. Editing is a nightmare.
Editing, yeah. Very
fun. Either way. At the time I had planned on doing an a video about how the Sharks weren't going to go anywhere with Doug Wilson because I felt like I hate saying this, but I feel like sometimes he's a little too loyal to his, you know, his long-term guys.
And I hate saying that because
loyalty is such a rare good thing, and it's something that you really want to see.
I mean,
loyalty, you don't get enough nowadays.
I mean, yeah, loyalty is a very admirable trait, and in sports and in life, be loyal people in life. But
with Carlson, you
get Erik Karlsson for the long term. Like,
I think that's
huge for the program.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is necessarily one of those cases where he's going to be like, oh, I would rather re-sign Pavelski than Carlson because he's been here longer. I don't see that as a thing.
Yeah.
But I will say, just like from past experiences, I worry about stuff like, you know, sometimes I feel like there have been players that the Sharks have lost or have gotten to the point where, you know, you could trade them and maybe retool at some points, particularly after the Sharks missed the playoffs. I think it was 2012, right?
Yeah, it was, I feel like, right 2012 before the or Cup 20, finals. It might have been 2012 or 2013.
I think it was 2014, because it was 14? Right before they, because then the very next season they went to the finals.
Oh, maybe.
Because they got Jones in the offseason and a couple other, and they made some changes. But just in that regard, I felt like the Sharks, at times, have missed the opportunity to trade some guys who are a little bit past their prime, but that they still could have gotten a decent return on.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Just like and for those of you screaming at me, I'm talking about Patrick Marleau and maybe Joe Thornton. But like, yeah, okay, Joe Thornton is maybe a different case, just because he's generational and still scores like he did 20 years ago, like he did, yeah, like he got 5 or 6 years
got
ago.
Got a goal against Dallas, like, this past game. That was important. It was a 3-2 win. So,
I worry about that with him sometimes. But at the same time, I think he's a smart guy. He's made good choices, and I think it'll... I don't see it as a likely scenario that he would say, oh, forget about Erik Karlsson when I have this my captain who's been here for this long. Yeah. Because, you know, you don't just say no to a guy like Erik Karlsson. You don't just push that aside.
He is a generational talent, and if they could convince him and he's willing to stay with San Jose in the long term, you're just looking at year after year of solid lineups and great, like, playoff runs.
And also a generation... maybe not a generational talent, but also a really good talent is Timo Meier.
Yes,
I wouldn't say he's generational. I should correct myself. That was supposed to be a really good, like, segue into the topic, but that might be pushing it a little bit even now.
He's a bit young, so.
Okay, but what's really amazing with Timo Meier, okay, so just looking at his stats, last season he played 81 games, had 36 points. This year he's played all 30, I believe. I think they're at 30, right? This is the 30-game mark for the Sharks. Either way, he's at 32 points already. Yeah. He's 4 points away from his career best in already. Do you see him as the next big leader for this team, or do you think there's still a guy to come?
I would like to say that. I mean, if you're developing at such a rapid rate like that, already about to tie your career best in what, like, a third of the games, like, less, it would be huge. I mean, you're still kind of, I feel, you know, if Pavelski is to leave, you're looking towards, you know, Couture probably taking on that C after Pavs. And then, you know, you got, I mean, of the younger guys, actually, Meier, of, like, the younger guys the Sharks have compared to, like, LeBanc, Melker Karlsson, those kind of guys, he's obviously the standout. And I could see him, you know, taking on a major leadership role within the Sharks within 4 years, I would say, if we keep him around, that sort of thing.
I was talking more just in the sense of, like, from a scoring standpoint, just, like, is he that next guy who kind of, like,
anchor
on that top six and kind of, like,
around? He and Pavelski, I think, have been, like, the most consistent two players in the offense for the Sharks. You know, Kane started hot, had a huge drought, you know, Couture's still producing, he's got his assists, he's still scoring, but I don't think he is standing out to me as a top six forward as much as Pavelski and Meier, and, you know, Meier's a child.
Yeah, what's amazing with Meier especially is the fact that, he isn't the big guy in the lineup at all. Like, if Timo Meier is, as far as most teams would be concerned, they would consider him maybe threat number, like, 6 or 7.
Oh, he's definitely, not there, yeah.
Because they just have so many big-name guys, and that's kind of, I think, what makes him extra dangerous, is the fact that he isn't the first guy in line that people would look at and say, all right, this is your main target. Because they'll look at all the big names on the, in the lineup like a Vander Kane or Pavelski, Erik Karlsson or Tomas Hertl. And they'll say, okay, these are our main concern. And that's how a guy like Timo, like, escapes under your under the radar.
Yeah, I think he gets to thrive in that sense. You know, if you're playing against the Sharks, you're obviously going to want to keep an eye out for the Karlsson and Burns and, you know, Couture, Pavelski. And then you have this kid that's just flying under the radar but putting up this these magnificent points. It's pretty incredible. It's really awesome that the Sharks have him.
I think it's really a credit. I already talked poorly ill of Doug Wilson earlier, but so I'll give him some credit here. I think they've done what the Sharks have done a really great job of over the years is finding guys in like the first round or like this or like parts of the draft where they can just find these guys who maybe aren't necessarily going to be like superstars or anything, but they're guys who can come who they are managed to develop and will. And will make a serviceable, and will help build a continuing wave of good players.
Yeah, definitely.
Meyer's a bit of a rare exception because he was like a ninth overall pick, so he was one of those guys who's a little bit more, you're more sure of.
Yeah, you're expecting a bit more of that, but there are definitely. I think like even like LeBanc, he was drafted really, really high, but, oh, there's the dogs going in the background, yeah.
You can hear my dogs barking in the background right now.
I love dogs. But, it's fine. Let him bark. But what was I lost my train of thought. Yeah, like LeBanc is a good player, and I can see him developing or, you know, down the line becoming a more solid forward. But again, I think he was like a 6th round draft pick. I could 4th. Like he was up, but maybe I could be wrong with LeBanc. But I'm pleased with how the Sharks draft for the most part. And look at the AHL team. You can vouch for the Barracuda. They are very solid lineup of young dudes that a fair amount of them have a shot of having decent careers at the NHL level.
Yeah, I think there's a couple guys. And that's even without the guys who I'd say are like NHL shoo-ins, per se. Like, Sasha Chmelevsky and Ivan Chekovich, I think, will each get really good opportunities to make the NHL. The other guys I'm a little bit more like, maybe we'll see. It's like a more of a wait and see if they get their chance at the very least if they'll get a call up. I think a lot of them are kind of in a position where they're young enough that, you know, they can wait it out a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
At the very least, especially because the Sharks are competing now, it'd be one thing if the Sharks were a little bit, you know, farther back in the contention standpoint.
Yeah.
But we'll see how things go. I think it just depends on, you know, will they get their shot here or will they get it elsewhere, you know?
Yeah.
For a lot of these guys.
I guess another thing I wanted to talk about regarding the Sharks is the D situation and what do we do with Tim Heed and Joachim Ryan when we have an awesome, awesome rookie playing pretty good caliber of hockey, you know? And I think my prediction is that they're going to use either Heat or Ryan. Depending, they might, you know, within the playoffs, they want to keep one of them, and he's probably maybe, you know, more sure in a playoff situation. But I think what they need is a solid fourth line center that they kind of had with Eric Fair. That's what I think they need to trade for, a solid fourth line center. If they want to make a deep playoff run, like down the line, maybe not right now, but down the line, pre-playoffs, solid fourth line center that knows the game and knows his position.
I mean, I guess in the Sharks' case, they have there are like eight guys they could be using right now on defense right now. Because let's see, it's Heed, Ryan, Karlsson,
Semek,
Burns, Vlasic. I know I'm trying to go off the top of my head here. Dylan
Braun.
And what was
Braun,
that?
Braun
and Semek, right? And I mean, I guess they're in kind of one of those cases where, you know, you have an abundance of talent that you could trade. I just worry because I've seen what happens, you know, when teams take what is a strength and they trade it to fill a weakness. And
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't always work out in your favor. I think if I'm the Sharks, as long as, you know, they're making sure they're getting fair value. Like, I think My big worry would be like them going to a team and saying, we will trade one for one this decent defenseman for a fourth line center. I don't think that's the way they should go looking. You know, I think they should try and get the best value. You know, the best value they possibly can.
I think you could definitely get a decent piece for like a Tim Heat or a Joakim Ryan, though, if they were to like down the line look into trading either of those players.
Yeah. And then at the same time, I also worry, like, especially when it comes to like the grind of the playoffs, you know, you want to make sure you have as many serviceable guys. Like,
also very true.
Yeah. When the Canucks got to the finals in 2011, the big issue as that series went on, among other things, was the fact that they were so banged up. Like, Kessler was playing totally hurt. And by the time, and everyone had, like, some sort of injury they were nursing at this point. Guys were, and the defense was completely depleted. And by the time they got to Game 7, they were using guys like Viktor Oreskovich and Jeff Tambellini.
Yep.
And it was just, the depth was gone. It had been depleted. They just didn't have those guys anymore. And they were a pretty stacked team as far as most groups are concerned.
Oh, definitely. Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. It just happened that they ran into a bunch of bad luck and a lot of guys got hurt, particularly on defense, because we lost Dan Hamuse and Christian Ehrhoff at points. I think Sammy Salo somehow was one of the few players to play the entire playoffs, even though that guy got hurt on a daily basis.
Always.
I don't know how he made it through that whole run without getting hurt. That was insane. One of the greatest moments of his life. Either way, it's just, you know, if I'm the Sharks, I don't want to take that risk just because of the fact of, you know, if a guy gets hurt, if you lose a big name guy, sure, you're not going to be able to completely replace that player.
Very true.
But,
yeah.
At the very least, you want to make sure that you have the depth to back it up, so that way you're not freaking out by the time you get to, you know, the second or the third round of the playoffs or even the cup finals, and because you having to like draw out of like the depth of your AHL team.
Very true. Yeah, I guess I would rather, you know, Joakim Ryan or Tim Heed replace a big name than, you know, some kid at the Barracuda who's, you know, getting called up to play in the Stanley Cup playoffs for the first time.
Yeah, the main thing people need to keep in mind is, like, it's not about so much, you know, like, let's say, you know, Brent Burns gets hurt. You don't want to be thinking so much about who's going to replace Brent Burns so much as you want to be thinking about, like, who's going to replace the guy taking his minutes, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Because that's the guy who's going to be taking the time. It's more about who's going to be that fifth or sixth guy. You don't want to have to worry about having this massive hole in your defensive lineup or your forwards, what have you. It's people have to think a little bit less so about who's the superstar they're replacing as much as it is who's going to be taking that ice time that the replacement is taking.
Yeah, it's very true.
It's a little complicated to think about, but it's one of those things that it's pretty crucial, because obviously no one's going to fully replace a superstar.
Yeah. Sharks, what do they have up next? Bit of a road trip again. Blackhawks and Wild, I think, are the next two games.
Chicago. That's a good building to play in now.
I mean, yeah, you know, a few years ago I would have been really worried, but I think they can come out with a W. They're playing hot. They're playing consistent. Chicago is a bit of a dumpster fire this season. We've discussed this. They are the Los Angeles Kings of the Eastern Conference, more or less.
Or the Western Conference. They're
still Western Conference, yeah.
But they're Central Division. Central Division, I think, is where you were going with that.
Yeah, that's
right. Either Chicago, I mean, we could have seen that coming.
I mean they're ancient. Ancient. We know this.
I mean,
they let the players dictate the locker room dynamic when... The fact that they got rid of Artemi Panarin will just never in a million years make sense to me.
But you don't understand. They really needed Brandon Saad back. He was just that vital.
He was so vital at this point in his career.
You clearly just don't get it. Brandon Saad is our Lord and Savior. And
look at him now, making all the difference.
It's not that they didn't like Artemi Panarin. It's that we just really love Brandon Saad that much.
But Panarin, I guess my friend who I talk a lot of hockey with back on the East Coast is convinced Panarin is going to go back to Chicago, but I don't think
they
so.
They don't have the room for him. Yeah. There's no way.
He's probably going to go to a younger, I could see the Rangers possibly, just because they're younger and have the space for it, but.
Yeah. I mean, he'd be silly to go back to Chicago, frankly. I mean, A, he'd be definitely getting paid less than he's worth, and B, he would be on a team that's not even competing, so, like, that's not
it's a lose-lose.
What's the point? I think the one thing I've heard is that he wants to go to, like, a non, like, landlocked city, which I guess Columbus kind of is. I don't know. That's something I heard or whatever.
He wants to be on a coast.
Something about he really is, like, interested in playing on a coastal team or something. Maybe that's just poor information from what I've, on my part, but, like, that's something I've heard, so it's, like, you know. You look, ooh, maybe, I would say San Jose is not in the running, I'll tell you that much. They don't have the money for
him. That would be the
dream,
but, I mean, maybe, I could see him with the Rangers, I think would be probably, like, another option. If he wants to do the Devils have the cap for it, more than likely.
The Rangers do like spending buttloads of money in free agency.
They do.
For players, so that sounds like a match made in heaven right there.
Oh, definitely.
Or maybe he goes to Florida. That'd be something.
Could be huge for the Florida program.
Florida, I mean, can Florida, afford him is maybe a question.
Yeah.
You know? And they're already not a good team. So, like, I shouldn't say not a good team, just not a great team. Although they are dead last in the Eastern Conference. I don't know how that happened. Man, that team took a...
Florida's dead last?
Florida's dead last in the Eastern Conference, ahead of
maybe
even
Jersey.
They're tied with Philadelphia and New Jersey.
Tragic.
Okay, so there are three teams in the bottom, and then Carolina fell all the way back down too. That was a shame.
That's a shame. I do root for Carolina.
What is it called? What do they do at the end? The storm?
The skull?
Something?
The skull clap? Isn't it
the
like
skull?
A skull
Well, yeah,
clap?
It's a skull yeah. clap, but they yeah. called it something. They gave it a brand, their own brand, like the storm, the storm rush or something. I don't know. Something
good for funny. Them. It's fun. I think
it's
the
skull,
fun.
I like it. I love it. The skull clap, I mean, Carolina owes, I think we've talked about this before, Carolina owes the Canucks royalties for that because that's ours.
But the Minnesota Vikings have been doing it forever. Also, the football team.
But that's football. They only own the football rights to it. We own the NHL rights to it.
I see. I see.
You know, it's all about that trade. It's all about those trademark, like the terms and conditions. You know.
I guess we could talk about the Canucks. We could segue into. Yeah.
I'm gonna pause for a second. I'm gonna get my dog. Don't pause the recording or anything.
I won't. You're good.
All right, we took just a little short break. Had to let my dogs out I had to let my dogs inside the house. They were outside barking and yelling at the cats. Basically, there are these cats like outside our house that love to just come and taunt our dogs. They're the worst. I hate them so much. They'll sit outside, and what they'll do, I kid you not, they'll come to the fence line, and they'll just sit there, and they'll just stare, like they're just giving you the cat middle finger, you know?
That's hilarious,
And Norbert will get so upset, and they'll just be like, yeah, you can't touch me, I'm behind a wall. And I'm always kind of like, I always kind of want to be like, go get him, Norbert, go! But I think obviously, A, somebody's pet. I get it. But also B, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't actually do anything with the cat. He would just be like, what do I do? He would like corner it and then be like, okay, now what? I'm done. That's it. That's what I'm supposed to do, right? Just corner you and then I walk away.
Alrighty. Should we go back Canucks now?
Yes, we should. We should jump into the Canucks and the fact that despite the fact that they lost their last game. Oh man, they started winning again, and that's
three in a row.
So
they had
nice.
Three in a row for a while. They beat the Predators once too.
They beat the Predators handily. Yeah. Like in Vancouver. I think the final score was like 5-3.
Yeah.
It was 5-3.
Then you followed that up with a very decisive win of the Blues 6-1.
Oh, that was I was driving down to San Jose to cover a game that day, and I had it on in the car, and I was like, this is the best game ever and I'm missing it.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
That Besser was, with a second ever Hattie.
That's good to see, you know, with him being so, you know, injury riddled, you know, in his first two seasons. Like, it's good. It's good. Definitely got to be good for his confidence and his mindset about the game.
Oh, for sure. It's huge. It's the first goal always seems to be like, you know, the hardest to get. So
definitely, yeah.
It's pretty big that he was, you know, that not only was he able to get off the schneid with like one of like the flukiest goals ever too. Funny. Really, it was really like, you know, the epitome of the Blues season in.
Yeah, it did kind of sum up
tactics. So it's like Besser takes the shot, it goes like high off the glass, bounces back down behind Jake, like hits Jake Allen in the back and rolls in.
They don't all have to be pretty, guys.
I feel, and it's amazing how even that really fluky goal can do so much for a guy confidence wise. Maybe we read too much into that sort of stuff sometimes, and like, you know, but I still think it's like, it's so important sometimes to just get that one goal. Like, it's
definitely,
it's just like one of those things that sometimes like that really is all it takes. Just like the weirdest, craziest goal in the world can be what sets you off on a great scoring pace again, just because, you know, it's that first one in a while and it's like finally, and all of a sudden all this pressure is gone, you know?
I mean, in youth hockey, that's all I ever taught was just shoot the puck. Just shoot it. It doesn't have to be pretty. If you're putting a puck on net, though, you never know what's going to arise from it. And he didn't even really put it on net. It just ended up back there anyway.
Whereas I was instructed very much to not shoot the puck.
Yes, I mean.
Do us all a favor, Lachlan. Don't shoot the puck. And that's because that's not because you're the goalie. It's because you just got a really bad shot.
It was not based on your position remotely. It was just, you know, you hadn't mastered your wrist shot. You know, no. They just didn't want to risk it, but.
And I was like, but I want to be the next Ron Hextall. I want to score from my own end of the ice and shoot it into the empty net. Is that too much to ask?
Not at all. Not even a little bit. But you guys are looking, the Canucks are looking more on pace. You know, how they started the season versus, you know, they had, like, the 8-game losing streak. That was a little rough a few weeks back.
That was too much. I'm not really sure what to do with this team right now, just because of the fact that I'm so happy that they're winning. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, God, what if they're going to win, like, a bunch of games and, like, finish ninth, and it's going to be really sad when they miss the playoffs by like 1 point or something, and now we've also are in bad spot for the draft. I mean, it's good to see them winning, especially for like some of the guys, like particularly like Bo Horvat. He's been here for 5 years. The team's been terrible every single year, and finally he's playing on a team that's like doing decently for a change. Although in the first season they did make the playoffs, it's still just one of those things where he was like a rookie only playing like, mm-hmm. you know, limited ice time. Now he's one of the major contributors in a team that he's majorly contributing on, is doing semi-decently, and that's big for him, and he's having a great year.
I love it. You always kind of root for Bo Horvat, and I think he just shows how well you can develop in the NHL, you know? He kind of went, again, from this rookie on a team that isn't, you know, in contention, but you can definitely see him bringing the spark to the team, and he's definitely a good leader, and he's going to continue to be, I think. I always liked Horvat.
Horvat is one of those guys who, even though, he was on the All-Star game, I think, 2 years ago, two mm-hmm. seasons ago. And that was and while he was having a good year, that was partially just because he was the only possible candidate. There was no one else doing decently enough to warrant sending to an All-Star game. But either way, and last year he didn't have the same production, but most of that was due to him just being hurt. to him missing a lot of the season from injuries. This year, he is, I feel like he's gone to a new level. He's gotten to a new level this season.
And definitely. He's coming out of a shell, I think.
One of the things I saw he talked about, I think like a while ago, was how when he plays at his worst when he's trying to do too much. And that's like when he's trying to put the team on his shoulders mm-hmm. and win them games single-handedly is when he plays at his very worst. And that's kind of, and with the way the Canucks were going for the last couple of years, he kind of needed to do that just because there wasn't anything else. There wasn't anything else available. There were no better options. But now that he's playing on a group where Besser's coming into his own, Elias Pettersson is just otherworldly. He doesn't have to do nearly as much as he used to.
Oh yeah, and he can just settle into his position.
And his game has flourished because of that.
He can just settle into his position and do what needs to get done, and he's producing. He's playing some of the best hockey I've seen him play. It's pretty awesome, I think.
Yeah, take that the last game against Nashville, for example. He was making great plays all over the ice. He ends up getting the tying goal with like seconds remaining in the Nashville game. He does lose his check at the end on the overtime goal, which isn't great, but at the same time, it's one of those things where you could see he was putting in all of his, every last bit of his energy. It wasn't like he didn't lose that last overtime, Pat Stokolten Sissons because he, for a lack of try, it was just because he had given so much, he just ran out of steam. And I think that's one of those things. He's a future captain. He's the future captain of this team, regardless.
Without a doubt.
Maybe some more talented players are going to come in. Guys like Pettersson and whatnot are going to come into this group, but he's a leader regardless, and he's somebody that they just need to give him the captaincy already. It's why bother waiting, you know?
Yeah, I can agree with that definitely.
I mean, I think there is partially a reason. I think they want to wait until season. They're celebrating their 50th anniversary next year, which
that
I
makes
could
sense.
Get into a whole nother tangent about because it's not their 50th season. But,
it's not?
Know.
Elaborate.
No. No. Okay.
Elaborate
so
briefly.
When the
briefly
Canucks went
elaborate.
To the Cup when the Canucks went to the Cup Finals in 2011, that was the 2010-2011 season. That year they celebrated their 40th anniversary.
Yes.
This year. Or next season will be the 2019-2020 season, which is only, what, 9 seasons since the last one? So, technically, that's season 49. It's not 50. Even then, it might even only be 48 because you don't count 2004 because they didn't play. Nobody played.
Oh, very true.
So I think they've only played, like, 48 seasons, but they're going to be like, it's our 50th anniversary, everybody. Get real hyped about it because the Canucks need to sell tickets. That's literally the only reason they're doing it next year is because, okay, the team's not doing great right now. We need to make money. We're going to do the 50th anniversary a year early.
Put that emblem on every piece of merchandise, jack up the prices.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's so dumb. That drove me kind of bananas. Just that fact of you can't just all of a sudden change your anniversary season like seasons just because you need to make some more money. That's not how birthdays work.
So can continue. Sorry.
Oh no, I'm done. But either way, Bo Horvat. The last time they did the 40th anniversary season, Orland Kurtenbach came out to give Henrik Sedin his captain's jersey when he was named captain and everything. It was like one of those surprises, though everybody knew it was coming from a mile away. I feel like what's going to end up happening is they're probably going to wait until opening night of the 50th season. Either they'll bring out Orland again, or they're going to bring out Henrik Sedin out to center ice to give Bo his captain's jersey and everything. I think that's where that's heading anyway.
Most likely.
But they should just give it to him now at this point, frankly. I don't see why. I don't feel like I guess you could say wait because maybe he's just captain and title without the title, you know?
But it's like, why not have a ceremony and, you know, make those ticket prices just a bit more expensive because something special is going to happen, you know?
Yeah, got to make that money.
All about
because the Canucks are notoriously strapped for cash all the time. Whenever I think of like teams that are like rich or something, I think of like that There's like this scene from The Simpsons where Mr. Burns is talking to Homer about how, you know, I'm just a little strapped for cash at the moment, and then like the ceiling falls and the ceiling cracks and like it's like full of money, like gold coins and stuff. And he's like, oh, as you can see, this place is falling apart. That's the way I see it. That's the way where the Canucks are. Right.
That's now. A very fair. I like that comparison.
I think that's a great comparison.
So looking ahead with the Canucks schedule, you have the Flyers today, Oilers tomorrow, then on Tuesday playing the very hot 25-7-1 Lightning. What needs to get done for these Canucks to win these games? Well,
I'm going to go out on a bit of a limb here. Okay. I'm going to go out on a bit of a... I shouldn't say a limb, but like...
Is it a hot take? Is it a hot take?
It's a bold prediction. Okay. I wouldn't maybe say it's a completely burning hot take, but it's at least a you know, it's a prediction. It's a bold prediction.
Okay.
I'm going to say that if the Canucks win tonight against the Flyers, which they should, frankly.
They really should.
Even though, notoriously, the Flyers somehow always seem to win in Vancouver for whatever reason. There's like, ever since like the Canucks, I think, started playing at Rogers Arena, the Flyers have some insanely good record playing in that building, in the building. For whatever reason. Either way, if the Canucks come out of here with a win and like a good win, I think we hear about Dave Hextall getting fired within like the next week, like before their next game.
That's very
I'm gonna say they clean house.
It's a bold prediction to some extent, but I totally see where you're coming from and it makes complete sense to me. Like, I could agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's where it's heading. If the Canucks win tonight, I think we might see a coaching change from the Philadelphia standpoint before their next game.
Gritty,
I don't know when
Gritty
that is.
Will be the new head coach, and they will win.
Gritty is the new head coach.
If Gritty was the head coach, they would win every single game. They would go undefeated the rest of the season.
Are player coaches allowed at the NHL level? Because then Gritty absolutely needs to be hired, because then they can bring him in as, like, to play alongside Couturier. I think that'd be a pretty good line.
The Flyers just will never make sense to me with how strong of a roster they have and that they just can never manage to put it together.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Free Claude Giroux.
Claude Giroux I think we could talk for hours about the Flyers underperforming. Either way, they should beat the Flyers.
The Oilers have been hot.
The Oilers have been playing decently.
Since they fired McClellan, they're doing pretty well.
That's one of those things with Ken Hitchcock. With the Ken Hitchcock coach teams, they talk about, you know, how whenever he comes in, that he seems to spark a new change. Like a new, reignite the passion a little bit.
I mean, that's huge. I mean, they're in the Pacific Division, obviously, rival. They were competing for a playoff spot. But with the Oilers fan base and what a, like, historical team that is, you know, it is kind of nice, in a way, to see them doing better. And it's good to see Connor McDavid win for as talented of a guy he is.
See, I've just seen so much like garbage on the on particularly from the Edmonton Edmonton media, like over the years. Like last season, I remember seeing like a couple different articles where people were criticizing McDavid for not doing enough. And it's like,
okay,
what?
Edmonton media needs to chill with that.
And, you know, just casually talking about how this sink is a urinal.
Really? Like,
mistaking a sink for a urinal.
That's ridiculous. That might be the hottest take in the history of hot takes.
That was great.
And it's incorrect.
I think that's so funny. I still laugh about that all the time. Oh, that was great. Either way, it's just, you know, I mean, I want to see Connor McDavid succeed. He's one of those guys that
He
deserves better. He deserves better. I mean, Oilers fans deserve better. They've suffered for far too long, and they'll probably just tell me to shut up because I'm a Canucks fan. But either way, like, you want to see them kind of get back. I think a lot of their problems have been management inflicted, for sure.
Definitely.
And it's really hard to fault the players or anything like that. They just haven't put iced a good team. Although right now they're finally starting to kick it into high gear a little bit. I would say they have a pretty decent shot at making the playoffs.
Oh yeah, with how they've been playing, you'd said that a month and a half ago, would have disagreed, but with, you know, how they're playing right now, definitely playoff contention, without a doubt in my mind.
Yeah. The Canucks have another extended homestand, which we haven't gotten enough of yet this year, so it's nice to have. Although the Lightning are coming back. The Lightning are coming here. We got the Jets next Saturday. And then St. Louis again. That's going to be, we'll see how that goes, for sure.
Another 6-1 game would be fun. That would be good.
Did you see how, I forget which players they were, but two Blues players got in a fight in practice the other day. And then, yesterday, they brought out the St. Louis Blues puppy.
Yeah, they're like, hey, ignore that stuff. Look at this cute dog on the ice.
Yes, that is exactly why they did it. They're like, all right, we're going to ease the tension around here, and we're going to bring out, look at this, it's a cute little golden lab. Aw, isn't he cute, guys?
That dog is adorable.
I fell for it. I loved it.
I immediately was like, what fight? Look at dog. But then I was like, they are a dumpster fire.
Dogs are amazing. They're the gift to mankind, you know?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Dogs cure all things. Dogs cure all things. That video was great. Either way, the Blues are just, I've heard they're planning to make fire sale changes just because, I mean, why?
I hear Tarasenko is on the table even, I've heard that rumor.
Apparently they're not happy with Tarasenko. From what I think it was Elliot Friedman was talking about that, how they're not entirely happy with the way he's gone about his time in St. Louis, although I'm not sure. So I don't really know if I could say the Blues are correct here, but either way, I mean, they know better than I would. It'd be pretty crazy if they just went on a if they just fire sailed everybody, you know, especially like after just getting Ryan O'Reilly.
I think we talked about this last week too. I just want to see Ryan O'Reilly do well, and I really thought he was going to get a shot at it with St. Louis.
That poor guy.
Poor dude. He would have a better shot, honestly, with the Sabres at this point.
Oh, man. That's such a darn shame. He's like, the Sabres just happen to get good again. They're good finally, just after he leaves. In terms of the Canucks, I want to see them at least come out with a win or two. I think there's a couple games that they absolutely should win.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple games that, be nice to. Like, even that Nashville game, the way it started, I was just so happy to see them get a point out of that one. And then the game against Columbus, where they won. They won after, in the final 4 minutes of the game, just by fluke accident, Jake Virtanen and throwing the puck at the net.
Exactly.
Throwing it off Corpus Allo.
Pay attention to your youth hockey coaches. Ugly goals count the same as pretty goals.
Yes, they do. For the short time I was a forward, I got all my goals by just standing in front of the net and whacking rebounds, and it was how I scored all my goals. It was the best way to do it.
Exactly.
From Vancouver's standpoint, I think we talked about it saying at Christmas, you know, whether we could decide whether the Canucks are a playoff team or not. We might need an extended deadline on that one, just because...
Wait until the new year? Give it a week into the new year or something?
I mean, any other year, I would tell you, no, they're still not a playoff team for sure. But because the Pacific Division is so terrible...
And it's also fluctuating all the time. People are rising and falling up and down the standings daily. It's insane.
Yeah, there's frankly no... I can't give you a definitive answer and tell you, they definitely can't make this play, because, frankly, they could if they got hot, because of how crazy the division is. If they just get hot enough, they could absolutely make it. And that's kind of the fault of the NHL, just having a wacky playoff format. But, I mean, I kind of like the... I mean, I'm not of the mind that I hate the playoff format or anything, but it is, like, one of those things of... maybe the Canucks shouldn't be able to make it the way they've been going, but there is frankly no reason that they couldn't, just by how crazy the season's going. If they just happen to win a bunch of games at the right time, yeah, there's no reason they couldn't.
Speaking of the NHL playoff format, I've heard rumors around, you know, different NHL media outlets that they're looking into a 20-team format for the NHL playoff. It's just, no, nobody wants that. No one wants that.
So I've heard a couple different proposals over the last, like, week or two. The ones I've really liked so far was one, I think this was on, I think it was Jeff Merrick was talking about how, it was Andrew Ferentz backing up an idea that Jeff Merrick had a while ago. So Andrew Ferentz, by the way, had a great interview on 31 Thoughts podcast. That was some dynamite stuff. I don't know if we, had a nice rant about the Oilers, about his time with the Oilers and players not caring enough, and I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But either way, I think he suggested, like, you know, you do the playoffs the same, or, oh, no, it was the first, it's like top 16, or the top 16 make it in or whatever, and then the best team in the league gets to pick their opponent, and so on, and so on, and so on. Like, it would be one of those things of where the team gets to make the decision on who they play in the first round of the playoffs.
You like that?
I like it from a fan standpoint. I think that would be crazy. And from a journalist standpoint, I think that would be so cool. Imagine the news stories you could get out of that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could get some, like, really, like, strange upsets or something. That could be...
Yeah, like how much, like, team, like, it could be, like, career-altering decisions, like stuff for general managers or coaches or stuff where they pick a team because they're like, oh, I think we can beat these guys, and then they get swept or something. Yeah. Oh, no. Like, all of a sudden... massive questions and a summer full of great articles about how did they make the biggest mistake of their entire lives picking this player. I think that would be so great.
That could be interesting, definitely.
That would be amazing. I mean, they would never do it because I could see, because for obvious reasons they would never do it.
Yeah.
But the one I like the best was the suggestion, I think, Dan Ruzanowski was talking about this on our sister podcast, Blood, Sweat, and Teal.
Mm.
Our other Fear the Fin podcast. Shout out to them, to C and Kyle. And Dan was talking about how he wants to see them, like, reseed in the conference finals. So, like,
interesting. At the end.
So basically, it would be, instead of just going Western Conference Final versus Eastern Conference Final, it would be the top four would be reseeded at the end. So you could get a Toronto Montreal or something, or a Boston New York, like, possibly.
Two East Coast in the final, or two West Coast. Interesting.
Or Vancouver Chicago would be, oh, that'd be a dream. Vancouver Chicago Stanley Cup final would be, oh. Maybe it doesn't have the same luster anymore.
Yeah.
But, oh, imagine if that had been a possibility back when those teams were in their heyday. Oh, that would have been an amazing cup final.
I think that is pretty... It is an interesting idea, because you do get to see some really awesome rivalries play at the largest stage, you know?
Yeah.
If you could have, like, for Alberta, Calgary, Edmonton final somewhere down the line, that would be huge. That would be amazing.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's one of those things, like... you know, it would be great for those rivalries, because the whole reason they set the system up the way they did was because they wanted to force some more rivalries into the conversation. I think the best way to do that would be to look into stuff like, you know, reseeding a little bit and offering the opportunities to have Stanley Cup finals not bound by your geographical location and whatnot. Which would make those rivalries that much stronger. Like, imagine the wars you would have between fans of, like, you get, like, a San Jose LA Kings Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, that, like, would imagine be huge. That would actually be incredible.
The bragging rights on the line for that, right? I think there's just so many the possibility, it would make, essentially would mean the possibilities are endless on who you could play in the finals. Like, it would, or, I mean, I wouldn't mind even seeing that. Yeah, I think the conference finals are the good place to do that, because you want to still make sure the geographical ramifications are all right.
Yeah.
Although, I wonder if that would even things out a little bit, just simply because you wouldn't be, like, say you started from round one that way. Like, say instead of it being, like, based on your conference, it was based on just, you know, 1 through 16. And, I mean, it would make the divisions meaningless as well, I guess, yeah. Which would be a bit of an issue. You know, there are just so many ways they could go with this, though.
I'm definitely curious to see how it, you know, ends up down the line. I'm not complaining about the current format, though.
Yeah, could be worse. To be clear, I don't hate the new form, the format they've gone. I can see why other people don't like it.
Oh, definitely.
But I don't. It's not eating me up inside or
exactly.
anything.
Exactly. I'm not outwardly very upset about excited. It.
Yeah.
I guess talking about, you know, formatting and stuff within the NHL, Seattle, we didn't talk about this.
That's right. Yeah. That happened since the last podcast. Okay.
Yeah, so Arizona is going to be kicked out of the Pacific and join the Central, and then Seattle will finally get its rivalry with the Canucks.
I actually heard somebody suggest that, oh, maybe it's going to be Edmonton that goes to the Central. It's like, no. That's never, why would you even think that? There's no way they're going to split Calgary and Edmonton out of the same division. Are you crazy?
The only team that made sense to go was Arizona.
Yeah. They weren't going to move Vegas because Vegas just got here, and B, geographically, they're closer.
Yeah.
So Arizona made the most sense. Apparently, Arizona's not happy about that move.
I mean, they're struggling in the Pacific Division, and the Central Division is way more difficult.
But I mean, by the time they get there, it'll be 3 years from now. Yeah. So, you know,
they could drastically improve, and the Central could fall off.
They could be much better by that point. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's one of the, I don't think it's so much about they don't want to play, they're worried about the better division. I think it's so much as it is about
travel.
Because it will definitely affect their travel a little bit more now if they play in the Central, because they're going to have to go out to Chicago more often, and
Tennessee,
yeah, those, and Winnipeg, and it'll definitely affect their travel a lot more. But I mean, it's not like they were going to put Seattle there. That would be
ridiculous.
Like, come on. Like, what did you expect? You don't like it? Move to Quebec.
Move to Quebec. Exactly. Solve all of our problems.
Or Houston. Move to Houston. If you don't like it. That would actually make things even better, because then Dallas would get there. Because then Dallas would get a closer rival.
Yeah.
And it would make more, and you wouldn't have to travel as far.
I think Houston could have, like, deeper hockey roots and get more traction, you know, than...
Well, that was a big talking point. They almost... And by almost, I mean, like, you know, it was in preliminary
talks. It was considered.
They might be the one to get the 32nd
No, team. Seattle, I'm so excited about Seattle getting a team.
Seattle would have been the right call far and away to give it to. I mean, Seattle's going to have such a great, immediately already there's already trash talk between like the Seattle like mayor about how they're going to destroy the Canucks and everything when they get into the league.
I mean, that's awesome though. Like, it's so awesome that they're already hyping up a rivalry that's not starting for two more years.
I'm so thrilled. I'm excited for the fact that, you know, Seattle's going to get, that Vancouver's going to finally get a rival that they don't have to get on a plane to go play. Finally, just one where they can get on a bus or something instead.
So there's been
rumors. Because you don't know how rare that is for Vancouver.
Oh, it's insane.
Like, Calgary was the closest opponent, and it was still, it was a time zone
away. Exactly, yeah. But, like, there's been so many rumors about, you know, what the team name is going to be. What have you heard? What is your favorites?
Okay, so there's, like, a list of them. I can actually go through. There's a list of official ones that, like, a lawyer for, like, the team or for the ownership group had gone through and, trademarked ahead of time. So they could get them. So there's, like, 16 different teams. It doesn't necessarily mean that it will guarantee it to be one of those. But at the very least, you have an idea of where they're looking at. So let me just see if I can quickly pull it up. Okay, I think I have it here. Either way, I mean, I like the one that I like the most, I think, is the Totems.
Really?
It's kind of an, Okay. Yeah, I like that one the most. That would be my favorite. I know everyone really likes the Kraken.
Kraken is pretty cool. I think I saw seals.
That one's okay. So here are the seals is one of those names. Okay, so here are the names that they've registered as domains, like the company is registered as domain names, to hold on to. So far they have the Cougars, Eagles, Emeralds, Evergreens, Firebirds, Kraken, Rainiers, Renegades, Sea Lions, Seals, Sockeyes, Totems, and Whales.
I'm going to say hard no to Cougars. I don't know. That just doesn't
I'm going to say hard no, to Cougars and Whales. They're not going to go with Whales because the Canucks have a killer whale logo. They're not going to go with the Whales. No. They're not going
to. Emerald is kind of unique. It sounds pretty, but I don't know about for a hockey team.
Yeah, that one's not would be my choice either. I would say probably.
Kraken and Seals, I think, are mine. Sea Lions is... Oh, there's the dog again.
Yeah, you can hear my my dog's
going. Your own barking seal, but
speaking of barking, the sea lions. Yeah, I like that one. I like sea lions. The reason I don't think they'll go with seals is because there's already a history with the seal's name in the NHL, and it's one that's not good.
True.
It's a bad history. I don't.
When Oakland had an NHL team, Oakland had an NHL team then. That was cool.
Yeah, at the Oracle.
People forget.
Especially because the Oracle doesn't look that old. Like, just from the way it's built, it doesn't look very old. Somebody I heard suggest Grinders, which, like, somebody, like, that's not one of the ones, but, like, I heard Grinders for, like, coffee.
Yeah.
But I'm like, and then I was talking to my girlfriend Sarah about that, and she's like, isn't Grindr, like, a dating app? Isn't that, like,
a gay dating app?
Ooh, yeah. Maybe... You don't want to go. Maybe don't want to name your hockey team after a dating app, the Seattle Tinders.
I saw. I don't know. It was just like a
because
comment.
There's trees and you can set them on fire. The Tinders.
I saw the just like a comment on some social media. Somebody was coming up with hypothetical name and they said like the Star Buccaneers or something.
Yeah, I found a jersey concept online for the Seattle Star Pucks.
Star Pucks? I can get behind that.
And it was like not only was it like the Starbucks logo, but it was the mermaid with the siren with like a couple teeth missing.
That's kind of cool. That's pretty cool.
I loved it. I thought that was great. I work at a Starbucks and I was like, I was like thinking, "Oh, you think if I bought one of these, I could wear it would count as a work uniform?"
I'm also going to get behind the Firebirds. I don't know. I think it's kind of unique, and it could be kind of cool as a concept.
I think they'll have a hard time getting that one because there's already a junior team, the Flint Firebirds, in the NHL.
Oh, very true, very true.
Which, for the same reason why the Knights couldn't get just the Las Vegas Knights, because London already had the trademark in Canada to it.
Oh, that's true. So but also they get in trouble with Golden Knights because... Army is technically the Golden Knights, or like Clarkson or something.
And then, Vegas sent out a really passive-aggressive statement saying, "We are pretty confident that people won't confuse our hockey team with a parachuting team, this parachuting team."
Something like
that. I thought that was great. I love that. I think the one I like the best is the Totems, because it has kind of a history with, there has been a Seattle Totems team in the past.
There has, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it wasn't an NHL team, obviously, but like, a major team, and apparently that's got some traction around the area. And then the other one I like is the Sockeyes, because that has a hockey kind of name to it.
I'm not a huge fan of Eagles. That seems very meh to me.
It's boring. Yeah, it's a boring one.
It seems unoriginal.
It's the bird equivalent of naming your team the Wildcats.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who are we? The Wildcats. Who are we going to beat today? The Wildcats. Yeah, the Rainiers, I think, is a dark horse good one.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think color scheme?
I would definitely keep that one in the conversation.
Color scheme, they're going to go with the foresty green, maybe some yellows in there, you think? Or what is your prediction color-wise for a Seattle team?
So, my personal guess from seeing, from, like, all of the, their website, the mock-ups of the arena, I've seen a lot of red.
Red?
I've seen a lot of red on their social media, on the website and everything else. that all the promotional materials I've seen have included red in some way or another. I haven't seen much green.
See, I would go green. Would greens or like blue hues would make more sense to me, just because Seattle's in the.
They can't. Okay, they can't do green and blue. The Canucks already have green. Yeah. Blue. You can't go with the same colors as what's going to be your main.
I was kind of assuming maybe like a green and yellow. That was, or maybe like greens and grays or something.
I think what you're gonna see, I think green will show up. I think it's gonna be like green and red.
Interesting.
Which is what the Seattle Metropolitans wore back when in the Pacific Coast Hockey League in the 1910s and when they won the cup and everything.
I see.
They wore that like a barber pole, like the barber pole, red and, but it was like red, green, and white.
Okay. That kind of just reminds me of the old school Devils when they had the green.
Yeah, Christmas jerseys. Yeah. Which they're bringing back, I believe, for a couple games this year.
I like it. I like the green with the red.
I think that's such a good color scheme, too, that gets underutilized just because of the Christmas connotation, you know?
Yeah, which is fair.
People are like, oh, it's Christmas colors. It's like, who cares? You can make that argument about a lot of different things.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm just excited for Seattle hockey. That's just going to be unreal.
Yeah, I think it's going to be amazing. It's going to be great for the Seattle. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to work. Like, no doubt about it. I don't see any reason why Seattle won't work as an NHL city and everything. Especially because Seattle in itself is such a passionate sports town.
I know.
They're going to dive headfirst into hockey, even if it's not like something that they've had a big growing up with.
I feel like after they lost the Supersonics with basketball, you know, they kind of needed something else. Seattle's a team, I think, or Seattle's a city that deserves all four major sports teams. That's a passionate group of people that likes their sports.
For sure, but I think it's such a, I will say I think it's a big deal that Seattle's going to get their NHL team before they get an NBA team.
Like, yeah,
I think it's
a big deal
for the league to get them in there first.
Yeah.
So that if an NBA team does come back to town, they're not the, you know, they're not the second edition,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
They're not the afterthought. They're going to come in and be the main. And when it comes to the winter sports,
yeah,
they're going to be the only draw in town for
a
while.
Yeah, that's huge.
Because football's, unless the Seahawks make the playoffs, you know, they're only going to be in competition for maybe a couple weeks.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of, and I'm sure the NHL will do their best, especially at the beginning, to not play them on Sunday nights or something like that for the first little while.
That makes sense. I would hope that they would.
Or nights the Seahawks are playing.
I would hope they would, like, prioritize that over the Seahawks.
Well, yeah, they did that. Well, yeah, they've been doing that, I think. They did that with Vegas, in a sense, too. Like, they didn't play them a lot on Sundays, if I remember correctly, even though they don't have a team yet. Just because they knew, you know, people watch and they know, obviously, the Raiders are going to be there at some point. So they wanted to make sure that they weren't, you know, losing any sort of viewership. And especially now that the Knights have done well, it's going to be huge when the Raiders come in. I think it's going to be the ramifications are going to be non-existent for the Knights, for the most part, I'd say.
Probably. They're selling out nonstop.
They're selling out, and I think that's not going to change when a football team comes. And even if they play on the same night, I don't think that's going to change.
Definitely.
Unless it's like, you know, the Super Bowl or something. Either way, like, yeah. The thing I love, though, I think the most about the Golden Knights is that it's like one of the few times like a Southern team can be like, we're the oldest professional franchise in our area.
I know.
Like even though the Raiders will have their history and everything, it's gonna be like, no, we're Vegas's first professional team. We're the oldest. We're a Vegas
staple.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
We're as important to Vegas as the Canadians are to Montreal.
Essentially.
Or the Yankees to New York.
Oh my goodness. I just can't wait, though. Like, of all cities, you know, that have been in consideration, I mean, it would be Quebec. Quebec deserves a team. I'd like to see
Quebec.
Them get something back at some point in the semi-near future. But Seattle, I was not upset with Seattle getting a team even a little bit.
I was actively rooting.
Oh, same. I mean, I think, you know, I feel like for Quebec to get a team, it's not going to be an expansion so much as a
From my understanding, that's always been the plan.
Yeah.
That's always been their plan. The NHL's plan has been to just hold them, you know, hold up. I think the official, from my understanding, is essentially because Quebec paid the expansion fee back when they were in the running to get a team to get 130 to get a team back when Vegas came in.
Yeah.
They paid like the $500 million expansion fee and everything, and from my understanding, the NHL essentially told them, okay, we're not going to give you an expansion team, but if a time ever comes up where you could get, where you could purchase another team and relocate them, I think they said they would take the $500 million, they would, the $500 million expansion fee would be deducted from their,
I see, okay.
from their cost or whatever, from like the purchase price or whatever, or something along those lines, where it'd be like they'd take like that, they would use that money, they could use that money as part of the purchase or
Bring back the Hartford Whalers.
No, Hartford's too small.
It is too small of a market, but living in Connecticut and not getting to see any professional sports, but they have like NWHL and WNBA, I believe. Yeah. But
as much as I love the Hartford Whalers as a franchise and as a brand, the area is too small nowadays for NHL hockey.
Yeah, I do love, vintage jersey wise, Hartford Whalers are pretty sick colors.
Like Hartford's a smaller market than Winnipeg, isn't it?
Oh yeah, Hartford. Yeah,
and definitely. Winnipeg is the smallest right now. And if the Nordiques ever come back, Quebec would take that spot after.
Houston, I'd be excited if Houston got a team, though. It'd be nice.
Houston's a big market.
It's a big market. They could be so successful.
They would also be up to relocation.
Yeah. They could be super successful.
I think that's pretty much it. Have we gone over everything? I think that's pretty much it. As far as we're concerned for this week.
Yeah, definitely hit us up on any... Oh, we forgot to address, a guy asked us to put the podcast on, what was it?
Podbean, I think it was called.
Yes. So we're poor. Is the summary of why we can't do that. We get to put our podcast out for free on Spotify, iTunes, Google, and on the SB Nation site. And we are currently not making any money from this.
If you've ever like looked into doing a podcast, essentially it's like you have to use like what's called like an RSS feed.
Yes.
Which is already being run through my website. So, and in order to go through the Podbean version, I would have to start a new feed and re-upload the podcast in two places at once. And so it's one of those things of like, you know, I think under a free plan, we could only upload like 5 hours of content. So it'd be like, okay, we can upload
five,
three episodes and that'd be it. Maybe four.
Four, if we're lucky. We do talk for a while, so you'd most likely be getting three episodes.
Either way, right now it's not worth it for us to go in and put that kind of money in when we're already streaming it through a bunch of other services for free.
Yes.
We are going to start looking into other places, though. I'm definitely going to take a look at like some of the other free options and see if we can get them out to other places.
Yes.
At the very least. But that's not to say we won't do it in the future. It just depends on like, you know, how easily we could make that sort of transition or something, or we could make that sort of fix, I guess.
But thank you to the guy for asking us about that. We like fan interaction, and I didn't even know that was a site.
Yeah, it's nice to know that we get that. At the very least, it's nice to know somebody's listening.
Besides
even if
my
it
mom.
Is not on their favorite podcast place.
Yeah, we appreciate that. But you know, you can if you have internet access, you can just log on SB Nation, press play, listen from there as well.
Yeah, we have it through so many different avenues right now. It's great.
It's awesome.
Hopefully we can look into doing some cool stuff in the future, like some cool stuff maybe sooner rather than later. We'll look into some cool opportunities. We'll see how things go. Either way, I think I think that's it for this week.
Thank you for listening, as always. Super grateful.
Thank you for listening to the Van Jose podcast, presented by Fear the Fin. And we will be back next week.
Woo.